Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you read together with me the title of our sermon this morning? Grace in a Donut Shop. Based especially on our epistle, Romans 4, verse 16, St. Paul wrote, "That is why it depends on faith in order that the promise may rest on grace." You will look in vain in your worship folder for our usual sermon outline, because today we have a story sermon instead. After almost 10 years of standing before you, in July it'll be 10 years, after almost 10 years of standing before you and you listening to me preach, who here can tell me the four words with which I begin every sermon, every Sunday? The same four words. These four words are found in nearly every epistle in the New Testament as a greeting, and they serve as a greeting in sermons today. Those four words are: grace be unto you. Every Sunday I begin, grace be unto you from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. These words quote St. Paul in Romans 1, verse 7, where he says, "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." 1 Corinthians 1, verse 3, "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Philippians 1, verse 2, "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Galatians 1, 3, "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." When you look up the meaning of the word grace in a regular dictionary, here's what you find in Webster's dictionary. Grace: a courteous demeanor or an extension of time after a payment falls due, or a short prayer before a meal. When you look up the word grace in a theological dictionary, here's what you find: God's unmerited, undeserved kindness. During this season of Lent, we especially pause today to consider the grace of God that, as John 3 told us today, sent his Son Jesus Christ to pay for the sins of the world and for yours and mine. Today's sermon is a sermon about grace. It's a story sermon. It's a picture of grace. Again, our title, Grace in a Donut Shop. It had been a hectic day. I was scurrying about trying to get ready for a weekend trip and a big event. Rushing to the bank, I withdrew some money for the trip and was walking back to my car when I first heard his slurred voice. "Hey, man, I'm hungry. Can you help me get some lunch?" Looking around, I saw a young man who looked like he lived on the streets. His name was Johnny. Johnny obviously had been drinking and he was feeling no pain. Having been a pastor for a while, I was used to the antics of con men and people who were intoxicated. So tucking my billfold deep into my back pocket, I rushed by him, mumbling more to myself than to him. But just a few steps down the parking lot, Johnny's words caught up to me. I hadn't really heard him. So caught up I was in my own plans. All he said was, "I'm hungry." And I walked by. I stopped, and for some moment I thought about my boyhood pastor, always a compassionate but also realistic man. What would my pastor have done, I thought. I knew what he would have done. He would have fed the man. So turning around, I walked back to Johnny, and with a firm look that clearly communicated, "You're not going to pull one on me, fella," I said, "Johnny, if you're hungry, I'll buy your lunch, but I'm not giving you any money. Is that a deal? I could see the hesitation in his eyes. My offer wasn't the best that he could have hoped for, but it wasn't the worst. So Johnny grinned at me through broken teeth and said, "Sounds like a deal to me." We were very close to a fast food restaurant. Shuffling beside me and looking very uncomfortable around nicely dressed and nicely smelling people, Johnny came with me to the register. "My friend here needs a meal. If I give you $5, could you fix him up with a decent lunch?" Handing the person a crisp bill right out of the ATM machine, I told Johnny to order what he wanted. But then Johnny hit me with the question. "Hey man, if I don't eat that much, can I keep the money?" Like a father addressing a child, I said, "I don't think so, Johnny. We're not playing that game. No booze. You get what you want to eat, and that's it." Walking around, I saw that he was seated at a table, and then I left. I had made the best of a bad situation. Yeah, I felt pretty good about my actions. I hurried to get out of town. As I sped off down the highway, I quickly forgot about Johnny. I was busy thinking about the events of the weekend to come. I was speaking at a large gathering. The next morning, I awoke from my motel room and got up ready for an eagerly awaited event. Unfortunately, which is quite unlike me, I had overslept and hadn't given enough time for breakfast. Knowing that I couldn't make it through the day without something to eat, I quickly rushed out and bought a wholesome breakfast, the breakfast of champions. 6 chocolate donuts. "That'll be $3.15, said the waitress behind the donut counter. Reaching into my walk to my pocket for my billfold, I suddenly froze. My billfold, my wallet, wasn't there. With a sense of minor panic, I suddenly remembered, oh no, I left it on the dresser in the motel. What am I going to do, I thought to myself as I looked into the young woman's eyes. Glancing around at the people at the counter who knew what was going on, I felt my face get red and hot. You've had the experience. "I don't believe this," I said. "I left my wallet at the motel. I don't have a cent on me. I'll drive back and get it, and I'll be right back and pay you." The young woman looked at me with a twinkle in her eye that caused me to pause, and she said, "You don't need to come back. These donuts will just be on us. Everybody needs a break once in a while. Just take them and enjoy them." Several minutes later, as I drove down the road with a car filled with the aroma of chocolate donuts, I knew that God, our graceful God, had just clobbered me with a big lesson. It was a lesson so great I fully couldn't grasp it at the time. But through a glimpse, in a moment in time, I learned something about the grace of God. I learned that all of us, every one of us, is equally in need of the graciousness and mercy of God. Standing there in my nice clothes, getting ready to go to an extravagant event, I was no different than ragged Johnny standing half-looped in a parking lot, asking for lunch. You see, life has a way of being a great equalizer for all of us. And if we think our own virtue or our own strivings or our own accomplishments will get us anywhere close to the door of heaven, then we haven't lived long enough. Sooner or later, we will find ourselves reaching for a wallet of earned goodness or righteousness only to find a pocket full of emptiness. We are totally dependent upon the grace of God. Every one of us. And that is the gospel. That's the message of the cross. That is, as Ephesians 2:8-9 says, that is the grace by which we have been saved through faith, not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. The only meal we will ever eat in heaven is a free one that we have never paid for or deserved. I learned something else that day, that God is a lot more like that kind and gracious waitress than he's like me. She gave to me with a sense of joy and compassion. Her generosity set me free. She understood me and she felt for me. There was a delight in her giving. My giving with Johnny wasn't out of delight. I looked down my nose at him and gave out of a sense of condescending obligation. Whatever he felt in that restaurant when I left him, I don't think he felt that I loved him. Cared about him, maybe. Loved him, no way. My righteous compassion did not give him a glimpse into the love of God. I did not smile. My eyes didn't twinkle. My giving did not set him free to consider the goodness of life and the graciousness of God. But I learned in that donut shop that until you and I have been helpless and empty and in need and freely given to, then we're not able to freely give to someone else. To give with joy is to know that you've been there too. And so it is with forgiveness. Until we have fallen on our face a time or two and have discovered our own empty wallets and empty pockets, it's hard to understand the absolute graciousness of God at the cross of Jesus. But it's true. God is always willing to forgive our sins and to send us on our way, donuts in hand. This is the grace that we have been given to proclaim and the grace we have been given to share with others. I think the waitress at that donut shop that day preached a pretty solid sermon to me. So, dear God, I pray the next time I meet another Johnny or a hurting church member, or a neighbor, or a person from the community who has no use for the church, or an overburdened store clerk, or a tired wife, I pray that I will remember my own empty pocket and blushing face and be a little more compassionate. And that's my prayer for you as well. Well, I pray that your and my eyes and our mouths and our actions will reveal something to somebody else about the utter graciousness of God. Standing empty-handed in a donut shop, a young woman gave me a glimpse into the smiling grace of God. And much to my delight, I was reminded that God really does love me. And God really does love you. Romans 4:16, that is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise of God may rest on grace. Ephesians 2:8-9, by grace you have been saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not by works, so no one can boast. Grace be unto you. In the name of Jesus, amen.